Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Well, Brother Strober, you got it right, huh? You got the soundtrack. I thought you might have been playing the music. What's that young guy this year?
Thought I was going to play the Death of Auto-Tune.
Yeah, the Death of Auto-Tune. Yeah, that Willingham opened. But A-Wad, man. A-Wad. A-Wad lost at least 5 pounds this morning. And you talk about, you can feel the program through A-Wad. And that's when he says, you know, homegrown, lived it, he's real. All of that's straight up.
You hear it right in his voice.
Yeah, same thing with Big L. They've been tortured. When you've been tortured, you're too young. I don't know if you've been.
Oh, I've been tortured.
It's bad. Yeah, I guess.
I've been punched in the face, but I keep on getting back up,
yeah,
and I kept on getting
fallout.
Up.
Yeah,
and you know, it's not about the size of the dog in the fight; it's the fight in the dog.
Yeah.
And this fan base, it was about who had more heart in this fan base. Who jumped off the ship? Now that we're back up, we're trying to see winning football. It's a good time. It's a real good time to be a fan, Doc.
And I'm no kidding. Because I don't relate to it. I relate to it as an employee because I had, 16 years, I'd stand on the sideline, look at that crap. And a lot of it wasn't crap. A lot of it was great effort. It's like that when I see Tana and I see Portis and these guys, Chris Samuels, John Jensen, I mean, there's some soldiers. There's some guys that fought. I just felt that group could win. You couldn't convince me that they couldn't. Seeing London Fletcher out there with a group, we had some heart. It was a clown show the last 7-8 years and going that now it's become a circus. And then to recover, it's almost like if you could redo it, you might think, well, maybe we're better off not being as good as it was last year because that was lunar. You were a game from the Super Bowl, and I don't even think that's set in with people. It's just you were one. Now, you showed you that door is thick as about 8 inches of steel.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't running through that door, so you could gauge yourself. And to me, only because of my age and maturity do I understand this in a way that I could never push panic. Because as bad as we were, 4 wins every year, last place, fans knocking down your doors, people being arrested. I mean, just scum of the earth operation. And to go from scum of the earth all the way to where you were at least on a penthouse level and the world champions beat you. And you do have a win against them. You notice how I said a win. You didn't beat them, but you did get a win, which is important. A lot of people don't get that win against that group. So if you're realistic about this and you don't have pom-poms on, you know that you're in the conversation now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's legit. You're in the conversation. Now what are you going to do about it?
You got to remember one thing, though, as a fan, is that this sport is so volatile. It's not easy to win games in the National Football League, and the Commanders will tell you that firsthand. They won on a 5-game stretch where it came down to the very last play to win those games in hell. I mean, the New York Giants, they come in here week one, a hungry group, new quarterback, a bunch of new dogs on the defense.
Just like you a year ago.
And you go to Lambeau week two, 4 days later. That's a tough start to the year. And if you start.
Couldn't have a harder opening because the fan base won't recognize it as you did.
Nothing is set in stone in the National Football League. You could go out there and you could lose those first two games. Then what's everyone going to say? We're back to where we were. This is not a team that wins anymore.
You should be 3-1 at the least in September or sweep it.
I think they should start very fast.
As an experienced person.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it before, and I've seen it through other sports here in the district. You can never be so certain of anything happen on a sporting field, on the court, on the gridiron. And football is just one of those sports where when we sucked, we used to beat good teams every now and then. We beat undefeated Philadelphia on Monday Night Football.
Steelers. You went to
11-0 Steelers, won it.
Beat the Steelers.
No fans in the crowd, but still you won.
With that group.
You went out there with a quarterback that was playing on one leg somehow, and they won that game. It just shows that really anything can happen. There's no guaranteed wins on the schedule. There's no such thing.
We are going to, as our dear comrade says, boots on the ground. And, you know, every show I'm on, I do a big man's report with a big man, Mitch Tischler. And so my caveman brother will be with us JP, thank you so much for giving the thumbs up on that. You know, like Sheehan has like birthrights when it comes down to certain individuals on his team. So once you go, it's like going through the mob. You get a blessing, and I really appreciate that JP would give us that nod so the big fella can join us. Skeletos on the beat. Donna Hopkins will be with us to give us what she saw. I did reach out for the first time, maybe the last time I'll ever do it. I reached out to Linnell Willingham. And as always, he didn't respond. Now, he could be in an emergency situation.
You wanted him to open the show, right?
I wanted him to open.
Would you have him do his open?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'd give it to him. He's earned that. Because I don't think he can function without that. You know, that's kind of like, no, I would give him that.
I remember one time he didn't do it, and you texted me and asked if he was okay because he didn't do it.
He's kind of a big thing now. So he's got different programming opens for different programs that he's on. This is I was explaining. His agent explained that to me.
His agent?
Yeah. You didn't know he had an agent?
Oh, no. I've never met him.
Oh, yeah. No, he's kind of a. No, her.
Oh, her. Who is she?
Oh, she's. Well, like I said, I'd prefer if he gave that information to you.
Okay. I'll ask him about
it that way.
Does she know what BTP is?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I don't know. As often as you have to hear it, you'd like to think so. But 1-800-636-1067 is our number. And I want to make sure I get that straight. Bouncing between the two powerhouse networks, you always have to make sure, because of multiple concussions, that I still can remember the two numbers as how they differ. But we will kick it around, and we'll talk ball, not politics, and I don't do fantasy, so that's out. Hit another program for that. But we will talk tackle football. If we're talking tackle football for the next 3 hours or so, we're gonna have ball. But all that other garbage, save it for another host. Let's go out to Coach Vic out of Ackerkey.
Doc, what's up, baby?
Hey, Coach. Oh, man, I'm just ready to change the trend. Talk tackle football for a few hours.
Yeah. Let's just talk. Offensive and defensive line of scrimmage.
Oh, we doing that? We ain't doing that. Look, big fella, I don't travel without the crew, man. So Tischler will come on. If you put your hand in the dirt, you will be discussed in volume today.
Come on now. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. So what you said, something that definitely relates to what we got to talk about, to a 6-7-inch steel door. Doc, I'm going to disagree with you on that. Vince and that key, my brother, was at that game. And Vince said, while we were neck and neck going blow for blow with them, he said there was a point when the Eagle Stadium was virtually silent. Lincoln Financial was virtually silent. He said it started to suck the wind out of them because we were able to compete at the level we were able to compete. If you said an Eagles fan looked to next to him, he said, "Hey, bro, I'm an Eagles fan. I know I'm giving y'all S because I'm an Eagles fan, but I don't know. I think I'm going to sit down for a second." He said, "When we started turning the ball over, because they are a Super Bowl winning team, good teams capitalize when you make mistakes."
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels was picking them apart. Now, I want to point this out. I was a fan of Steve Young. I was an average fan of John Elway because he was exciting. Fan of Randall Cunningham, Michael Vick, Lamar Jackson, all of those guys. What I am is I'm not just a fan of Jaden 5. I respect his level of professionalism with his eyes, being able to pre-snap, doing the snap, and even post-snap, read defenses and throw people open with his eyes in windows that veterans and Hall of Fame quarterbacks have done. Not saying he's going to the Hall of Fame yet. Don't know that yet. That's fantasy. We ain't talking about that. But what I'm saying, what I'll conclude with that is, if we don't turn the ball over, Jaden 5 was going to beat. We were going to beat the Eagles last year. If Robinson don't put the ball on the grass, if Eckler don't put the ball on the grass, if nominated kids or was it the underground, one of them, don't put the ball on the grass, we would have been going to the Super Bowl. And what I feel about the ball we're talking is outside of what we cannot control on the field. On the field, Dan Quinn is preparing this team to take one practice at a time, one period at a time, one period, one practice, one down, one day at a time, and just get to our goal of getting our fourth Super Bowl.
Well, and all due respect, I don't do the if game. Because, you know what I mean, a couple hormones here or there, I could have gone from boy to girl. So what happened is you got your ass kicked at the line of scrimmage, period. And so there ain't no way you can talk. Yeah, JD5 is all that, and they do respect him. But they don't respect you at the line of scrimmage because they went through you. They stormed the Bastille. You are no factor. You could not set an edge if your life depended upon it. And so if you don't have the next greatest thing playing quarterback, it's not a match because physically – you don't match up. Last year's defensive line did not match up, period.
So I agree with that. That's leading to my last point. So the only thing standing in our way right now is what you just said. It's our ability not to create 1 yard in the backfield on the defensive line, control gaps, and play through gaps.
Amen.
And so we don't get our leverage.
Amen.
So we don't get – so they don't create a new edge on that. And so they can't come back across the field and go for Gabe's 67-yard run.
Now we're on the same
page.
So
I don't if that.
Yeah, this is reality.
I'm not ifing that.
Yeah, like I said, three hours straight, no fantasy, straight up tackle football. And they were superior at the point. Now, maybe our offseason has cleaned it up. I got to see that to believe it. You can't talk me into what you're going to be. I don't do that.
Yes.
I don't do that talk. I'm going to talk. What, no, show me what you got, and we'll find out. You know why? We scrimmaged the Ravens and we scrimmaged the Patriots. They're both physical teams. I'm going to see some real tackle football practice, not some lingerie crap of people playing flag. I don't play that. That, to me, is a waste of my time.
Will you be there on the days, Doc?
No, my eyeballs will be. I don't need to feel it. I need to see it. Got to run,
that's
brother. Appreciate you. Nothing but the breasts. 12:16. Here and man, Ben, you're kind of assertive today. I like that. You're taking an assertive position here.
Yeah, because I'm in a mood right now because I'm sick and tired of the Terry McLaurin talk. I can't stand it.
What talk?
That's right.
Oh, you had Linnell.
I've had everything. I've had everything. Every
hey, man,
show.
It is. Again. It's like I call some people, it's drama, and I'm not against it. But when I have content, which is we got real things happening right now, to me it always takes priority. Alan, Bebe, do not take Big Tony's call. Take him off of it right now. You guys stay on the line. We'll be right back, and we will continue here on this version of Overtime.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Dog days, we used to call them. Dog days of training camp. Training camp is great if you're in the stands or if you've got an air conditioned suite. What I like about this crew is that from the naked eye on, you can tell that they're off season from a physical standpoint, an athletic standpoint, stamina standpoint, was on point. They're in shape.
Yeah, and I like everything that's been said by Dan Quinney at a press conference this morning as well, just preaching the competitive nature they've had at camp. Different guys are fighting for their spot. I mean, you have guys that you would presume would be the starting players on this football team come week one, but they're not ready to say that because they want everybody.
Why would you assume?
To compete.
But why would you assume?
Why would I assume?
Give me an example, because you sound like that kid who's on here every night. what's his name? BTP. But I want to know what you mean by assume, because I don't assume that. Let me give you an example. Wiley started in a Super Bowl and protected the most valuable asset in the world, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't I expect him to be my starter?
I think he'll start.
Why wouldn't he? That's my whole point. That draft thing is so overrated. You accomplished what you did in college. Hallelujah. But it doesn't mean a damn thing till you prove it does. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to do it until you can do it. Because what I can't do is experiment at any point in time when I'm playing the New York Football Giants, who have a ferocious front. And I'm not into experimenting at the risk of JD5. I hope everybody understands that.
It's tough to do it, especially early on with these rookies. And I know it's sometimes you see an example where a rookie does start week one because when they have to. Trey Amos, the corner, not sure about him because he's competing with Jonathan Jones. That's a guy that's won Super Bowls.
Well, but here's the thing, though.
But Amos looks good.
The worst thing about Terry McLaurin not being in camp, to me, don't have a damn thing to do with him and JD5.
It's getting the corners better.
The corners who now don't get a chance to see a one go up against them in practice and get comfortable with a legitimate one. That's the only thing that matters to me. I'd love to see that. But if it don't happen, hey, man, handle your business.
I mean, we got Malik Nabers coming in week one.
And he
That's about as good as it gets right now.
But there's 10 of them in the league.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, my God. No, there's about a dozen of them. And so when you have your very own that you go against in practice, that's what you miss.
Need the iron to sharpen the iron right there.
It's like when you get a legitimate pass rush, Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famer, not all your tackles, everybody wins.
Yeah.
Because it's what happens when you do go 9-on-7 or you go 1-on-1s. And it's really never live until the defensive guy can kill the quarterback. They live for that. That is their reward. Their reward ain't beating the tackle. It's crushing the quarterback. And they're denied that. All camp, they're denied it until even the scrimmage, they don't kill quarterbacks.
Every defensive player, for that matter, there's no tackling going on. So imagine the safeties coming over the middle, the linebacker meeting the running back in the hole.
You get that. But there are a lot of really young, inexperienced reporters that are trying to describe this as if Jim Brown just came through and ran over John Lynch. And it's just fantasy because it's unrealistic. It's not live. And the receiver knows he's not going to be blown up.
Yeah.
The only time it's live is when it's live. It's a different game when you know it's live as opposed to fantasy or tag or flag.
That's why I'm looking forward to these preseason games, because the running back that we keep hearing about.
Oh, he looks legit.
He looks good in the way he can run, but I need to see him go against tacklers.
And you will.
He's got to hold the ball. You know, he's got to be able to take
hits.
It's
a different game.
Get through the first level,
But if you listen to some, no names mentioned, who are slobbering all over this dude as if he was, and I like him too, don't love him. How can I? Because I haven't seen him in a football situation.
Yeah.
A tackle football situation, not tag or flag.
We're kind of in a situation too, Doc, where you know, as a new running back, you're like a new toy. You're the new darling for the fan base, because a lot of people were frustrated with the way this team ran the football down the stretch, and rightfully so. They were not very good running the football down the latter stretch of the season, and they got through it in the postseason. They had a couple of good moments where they were able to get some push there for Robinson. But, you know, the fan base wants better.
Glad you said that. Because when you think, wait a minute, why wouldn't we be a better? When you have a Jackson-type threat at quarterback, your running game should be much better.
Yeah.
It should be much better because you have what everybody hates to defend, a legitimate killer at quarterback with his legs. So why isn't it better? That's what should be addressed. What's got to be addressed is that we kind of know what you did on defense. You flexed up. On paper, come on in. You look good. Now, how that translates, we'll have to see. We got Alan from Lorton on the line. Alan, what's up?
Hey, Doc. Hey, listen, Doc. I'm coming at you a little bit different with this topic. A couple of weeks ago, number 81, Art Monk, had his jersey retired. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to Beneath the Assembly. They named the Redskins who had their jersey retired. And I was in shock. There was not one man, one number, whose jersey was not retired. I couldn't believe it. Before number 81, there was number 42. You know what I'm talking about?
Charlie Taylor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer, NFL Hall of Famer.
The best.
Second year of eligibility.
Yeah.
How could his number, nothing to get Art, I love Art.
Oh, but love nothing, Art too.
Yeah. But
so you're talking about a program that was dysfunctional in terms of how it was run. So why are you shocked? Why are you shocked that your history has not been acknowledged properly? Because it's the organization and what was – people that owned it and ran it.
Sonny's jersey is retired.
Yeah, well, again, I can't answer. I can only give you the truth.
I was wondering if you had any thoughts about that considered that.
No, because the place was run like garbage. What I had a question about is how the FBI could come in and raid their training room. I got questions about a lot of things, but they allowed it to happen. So a lot of people, they have honored people for the wrong reasons around here for the last 30 years. So what's new? Hopefully it's straightened out. All I can hope is that the Harris Group gets it straight, gets it back to normal, and straightens it out. Because I agree with you. It is an atrocity. The people that have been overlooked. But again, if you have a jackass in charge, then what do you expect?
Right.
All right. Gotta go. Appreciate you. It is the way of the world. You are only going to be as strong as your leadership. I don't give a damn who you are. And if it gets down to the football, and it's like the guys that they no longer have a voice, they might not even still be alive, but somebody has to fight for them and give them the dignity that they deserve on that. And we'll go to break on that note. 1-800-636-1067, if you dare. And we're going to continue going. Hopefully we'll get Professor Holder, coming up and give us his perspective. I'm sure he's got a couple things to kick around. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Coach would say, how lucky are we, man? Without the Rude Guest Hotline, no way could this happen, man. The most reliable heating and air conditioning companies in the DMV, and they can provide Professor Holder, who joins us now. And, Brother Holder, it is, to say the very least, we're back in it. And we're in it to win it. A lot of activity going on in Ashburn and throughout the National Football League. Let me start off asking you a question. Were you able to put more than 10 minutes of eyes on the Hall of Fame game?
I put a little bit on it. I don't.
You put more than 10 minutes?
Yeah, I'm
really okay.
Not more than 10 minutes.
Okay,
just a couple of minutes. We had other stuff to catch up on and things of that nature.
I mean, the preseason. I wanted to catch the guys, the inductees.
Yeah,
that was my 10 minutes.
I have a bone of contention with that. So I kind of until B. Mitch and other people get in there, I don't. But I'm happy for the people that did get in there.
Yeah, well, you know, the people that represent and to vote. Remember, it took James Arthur Monk. Remember that.
Correct.
Yeah, so this is
personal. And I also remember that he got one of the longest standing ovations ever. So yeah. I'm hoping for that because, again, I'll just say this. If the man who set all the records has the records broken, then the man who set all the records should be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree, no, but it has nothing to do with the athlete.
To Devin Hester.
Art did the same thing with the receptions. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's political. We had no political clout. You were looked at like clowns. And the Giants, New York Football Giants, the Dallas Cowboys, they run that. They run New York.
Yeah.
You had no political clout. Now, that's going to change.
Right.
That's my opinion on it. I mean, you're the professor. But I'm just telling you, why would people even ask about something and you run like a country store, like the Beverly Hillbillies, and you expect to penetrate New York's power structure of the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys, and you wonder why most of your people don't even get acknowledged? But that's going to change.
I mean, I hope it changes because, I mean, Daryl and Art got in under the last ownership group. So, I mean, it was a clown show then.
Yeah, look how long.
So I hope it does change. Okay. I hope it does change because every from the NFL draft coming here to the commissioner looks like he's down here every week.
Now you're talking.
Doing something.
Now
so, I mean, so it just looks like I'll say this, and this is no breaking news or whatever. The National Football League has wanted Washington to get right for so long because Washington is good for the NFL. It's good for business.
Yeah.
And so now that number 5 and AP and Dan Quinn and everything that comes along there, that's why they're putting this team on prime time like every other week. That's why they're going to be playing the first game in Madrid. That's why when you go out to training camp now, you and I mean, there's half the media that we never would see out there, national media. Everybody wants a piece of this team now. Hopefully that will lead to, like you said, some of the wrongs, like the B. Mitches and things of that nature, the London Fletchers will start getting
Joe
their
Jacoby.
Due. Joe Jacoby.
Yeah. I mean, that's where
all,
it should start.
At all. Yeah. I mean, I plan to be making multiple trips back to Canton soon because this has got to end. this has got to end. I have no disrespect for the people that are getting into the Hall of Fame, but like you said, and it all goes back to your initial question, how much did I watch?
Right.
I don't watch much around that game because I'm in my feelings a little bit. So, yeah. But, you know, I concentrate on this team in New England. So that's what I am concentrating on. So.
Yeah, and that should be very interesting affair. Because it's the first tackle football. And that's not even really all-out tackle football, but it's going to be the first signs of violent contact that we've seen.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dan Quinn, his very first press conference, I love the way he breaks it down. It is kind of cool, even though you may have a cursory knowledge of it. Mm-hmm. It is kind of cool when the head coach actually tells you how you're going to plot along these dog days of training camp.
Yeah, he's good.
He said that there's three positions on the field that training camp really speaks loudly to when it comes to competition.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive line, mm-hmm. defensive line, mm-hmm. and the running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And so game on. Every single day that the reporters, at least me as a reporter, have gone on there. I mean, not that I care about the wide receivers or the secondary. The competition that the head coach told us was the hottest and heaviest was going to be offensive line, defensive line, and running backs. And as we plot along and we get to the violent contact of a preseason game, that's where you're going to be looking. That's where you should be looking at those different positions. Everything else will work itself out. But that offensive and defensive lines, my goodness, Doc, the game of football has not changed. If you can protect your quarterback and get to the other team's quarterback, you wind up at the last game of the season.
Yeah, that's a strategy even Fred Flintstone can understand. And I would add linebackers.
Right.
Because the linebackers, to me, are in line with running backs. So everybody has a responsibility. And when I'm not tackling you and you don't go to the ground and you know you're not going to the ground, it's a different game. It's not the same game. And so I just wish the people that reported it would just add that as a footnote instead of trying to convince people that O.J. Simpson and Walter Payton had just reimagined themselves. And they're not, and they haven't. But once we're going live, we're going to find out if you can do that double cut in the middle of a hole as well. I hope maybe you can. And what I like about this camp is the only reason I care about camps is that who emerges out of the camp as that wow. Because without a wow, it's really a waste of time. It's miserable.
Yeah,
you're hot. And you already know the guys that are going to play aren't going to play until the regular season. You're not going to really. But if I get that, who is that? What is that? Did you see that?
They've been emerging.
There you go.
They've been emerging.
There you go.
They have been emerging.
There you go.
So you got the wide receiver.
There you go. Virginia Tech, Lane.
And
the quarterback. And I tell you how it goes. It's almost like you put your ear to the ground. What do you hear? You're starting to hear about people. And that's what's good. Benjamin?
Lou, one of the things I noticed when I was out there, Debo looks like he's running every route with a different gear, a different passion to him. And I know he's taken a lot of offense to what people have said about him and tried to write him off after his time in San Francisco. Are you picking up what I'm putting down here, that it looks like he is ready to reach a new level?
Wait. Is that a Lunell Willingham?
No, it's not.
Ben, I laughed when people would be reporting that Debo was fat and out of shape and whatever. I mean, it just really, really made me laugh because when it comes to game time quickness, I mean, that boy is super quick. He's super quick. And I think all of that stuff is just laughable for me. And the fact of the matter is, Adam Peters knows how to inspect the groceries, and he would not bring him here if he was going to be a liability or anything like that. Now, obviously, we know that he's better off with Terry on the other side. But again, with the routes that he's running and the connection that he's making with Jaden, which is the most important thing of the whole camp, it doesn't matter his speed. Who cares? When it's time, he's in a contract year. B. Rob's in a contract year. D. Payne is in a contract. All these guys that are in contract years, Oh, yeah. It's on and popping.
He looks good in the red zone. He is constantly thrown at in the end zone, which I think is going to matter the most for him.
And I was listening before your segment, before my segment, and we're talking about iron sharpening iron. Yeah, Terry's not in there, but I saw a beautiful sight that goes along with that. After one of the practices or one of the drills, both of these guys on a knee, just talking to one another and picking each other's brain, Deebo Samuels and Mikey Sanders still. You don't think that Mikey is getting better by watching and guarding Deebo? I mean, that's been one of the talks of the camp, the maturation and the acceleration of Mikey Sanders still. I mean, people who know football know he was the straw that stirred that defensive drink at Michigan, you know, when they won that natty. So what the Harbaugh left, you know, Quinn and Witt have been picking up, and he is a Pro Bowl waiting to happen. And so to have him go up against Deebo every day in practice, that's just nothing but getting Mikey better. And everybody's addressing that. So that, Brandon Coleman, Joy McGee, Ben Sinnott, all these second-year guys of the first real draft class of Adam Peters, I think you're going to look at all of them emerging because I just feel that they just all look good in camp.
So one thing I mentioned earlier, Strober, we talked about it. The only thing that I miss with Terry not being active is him challenging and showing these corners what it one looks like. I mean, him and five, they're going to be good. They've been good. But you don't get a chance to be tested because it's the one position – linebackers and tight ends go pretty hard. O-line, D-line go pretty hard, but they don't go all out. But they go about 80%. But the corner wide receiver go 100%. Except for collisions. They will avoid that. But other than that, they going at it. So you get a chance. So they don't get to see Terry. And they will pay for that down the road. If he were not to be there the whole time, then what they see on opening day, and you got them freaks up in New York, at wide receiver, you'll pay for that. That will hurt you down the road if you don't get to – because where are you going to manufacture that particular look? You can't. You can't.
Right.
Only Terry brings that out, and he's not there.
Right. Right. So, Doc, I do have a thing that make you go, hmm.
Okay, give it to me, brother, on our way out. Let's go.
Okay. So, there's an awesome documentary that dropped on Thursday by a local filmmaker, Jimmy Jenkins, called Nothing But a Winner. And it's about the Alabama football program from Bear Bryant to Nick Saban. I spent most of my week talking to Dan Quinn, who spent some time with Saban when he was the coach in Miami. I also talked to B-Rob and I talked to Deron Payne all about the success at Alabama and Nothing But a Winner. And so my things that make you go, hmm, is who is the greatest leader in sports in your eyes? This isn't a Mount Rushmore. This is one person. When you have them all over the place in basketball with Phil Jackson, and you got them, you know, with college basketball with Mike Krzyzewski, there's all these great leaders of athletes that are sprinkled around. This movie, this documentary, was about Nick Saban and Bear Bryant. But my things that make you go, hmm, is like, who is your greatest leader in sports? And so I thought it'd be a good topic to throw around on a Saturday in the middle of camp. For me, there's no question. It's Joe Jackson Gibbs. So, and the reason why I say that is because this man is in the Hall of Fame in two different sports. All the other people that I think are great, whatever, I mean, they're great in their sports and they've been legendary, but I don't know too many people that have been put into the Hall of Fame in two different sports, NASCAR and football. And so for me, that is my answer to the greatest leader in sports. For me, it's Joe Jackson Gibbs. And yeah. I'm not saying that because I'm in Washington, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying that because Doc Walker's on the other end. I'm saying it because the facts are there. He went from football and he went to racing, and he has been put into Hall of Fame in both of those sports.
And never tooted his own horn. And never tooted his own horn. And I played for him and Dick Vermeil. And it's what you do when you come in. They take something that didn't exist, and by the time they leave, they're champions. Interesting. We got to go to a break on that. Good point. Thank you, as always, right. Professor. We'll be right back. Fun Bunch high five goes out to Professor Holder. Always leaves you with something, make you want to go, I think this would be a landslide, though, when it comes down to the greatest leader in sports, although there are a lot of things to think about. And before we tune out tonight, I'm sure we'll come up with a pretty neat little short list, because it's going to be short. It's hard to be great at anything, but to be around it and see its results. You have to at least look at this last year. We went 0-5 in preseason with Coach Gibbs. At first, he was out there. The whole preseason, 0-5, 0-4, whatever. Then we went, didn't win with 0-5 regular season till that Chicago win. When you see, when you're part of the entire process, you learn so many things about it. And you find out who wants to quit when it's not going well, who hangs in there, who digs hard, who just finds a way to get it. And when you jump that broom and then you go from 0-5 start to 8-8, you know, we went 500 the rest of them. And had we beaten the Patriots the first year, it would have been playoffs. We didn't. And then after that, you go 11-12, 12-5, whatever. Then the roll goes. And the roll runs all the way through till the great 91 team. You have to realize, what started in the early 80s, and when it crescendo, when it hit that top, it might be the best, one of the best teams ever. It's in the conversation forever. And in the 17-0 Dolphins, their remarkable story, which I continue to reiterate to you, is that they win it with the backup quarterback. So that's why I don't lose. I try to convince, but when you're 27, you can only take this so far. Everybody's been getting their panties all wiggled up all week about Terry could sign for $100 million and break his big toe the first, break getting out the shower on his way to practice.
Mm-hmm.
We're not canceling the season. The thing about football, you have to understand, as barbaric as it may sound to you, is that no one individual controls whether or not we're going to continue to fight. So this life and death, overly emotional crap that you've been listening to, if you decide to listen to me is garbage. Because I don't give a damn. He can show up or not show up. I've got to play the Giants with or without him. If he decides not to be a part of it, so be it. That's not my concern. My concern is when we hit that field against the New York football Giants, we're loaded and we're going for it. We need a W.
You know why I have confidence in this group? Because think about what happened last year. And I know you could think last year is irrelevant to the conversation for this year, but that group, they start 7-2 and they lose three straight games. Jaden's got the rib thing going on. They lose three straight. The kicker couldn't make an extra point, and you lose to the Cowboys at home.
Don't bring that up again. The rest of our time we're
together. Exactly.
That kills me.
And instead of this group faltering, falling back, and succumbing to the pressure that was on them at that point, they rallied. They won out in the regular season. They got to the NFC Championship game. They have what it takes. They have the right people in charge. They have the right people in the locker room that are able to get young players out of the rut they were in. That's why guys like Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, so important to that locker room.
Well,
because
so you mentioned Ertz,
mm-hmm.
Bobby, come on, Slim. That is vintage. That's that one wine you only have on your anniversary. And give the organization credit for, A, identifying them, paying them, and then preserving them. Because the way DQ runs practice, you can play past 35 if you got great skills with him. Because he does it the right way to make sure you're ready on game day.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Yeah. No, I look, you wouldn't notice unless you've been through some bad organization or bad coaches or had a bad run. They are doing it the right way. That doesn't mean it'll work all the way, but I guarantee you, you got a far greater chance to succeed than you've ever done before. Sleep on that one for a quick break. We go here. The maestro, he's getting the job done behind the glass here. DOC on overtime. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.